Okay. Good evening, everyone. I don't know really what to say. This Lag BaOmer has turned into a terrible day of tragedy for Klal Yisrael. It's supposed to be a Shabbos of Achrei Mos Kedoshim Emor, that we're supposed to speak after the Misa of Kedoshim on this Shabbos, and I really don't know what there is to say. That such a terrible tragedy should occur on such a happy day in such a holy place. You know, the day in which this is supposed to be the day of the cessation, of the stoppage, of the death of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, and it's a day that's now going to be marked with the death of people. It's supposed to be a day of the rejoicing of the passing of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and what he revealed to the world, and now it's a day that's marred and marked with a day of passing of holy people who went to celebrate in that holy place. I really don't know what to say. So hopefully our learning of Torah will in some way help ourselves and help them, and in some way be effective in a positive way. We should all be mechazik one another, that we should have to share no more sorrows, and Klal Yisrael should have to not deal with any more pain like this. There is a mitzvah to be mechabed and to have oneg on Shabbos. The Navi Yeshayahu says, "V'karasa l'Shabbos oneg." And the Ramban in this week's Parshas Emor, says this actually is min haTorah. There's a Torah commandment because it says in the pasuk, as I brought before you, that Shabbos is a mikra kodesh, a holy convocation, as they would translate it. And the Sifra in the Parsha says that this means sanctifying and honoring the Shabbos with clean clothing and to take pleasure with food and drink. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch does say that the mitzvah of covenanting Shabbos is a derabanan, but certainly, according to many opinions, most opinions, is probably a deoraisa. What I'd like to talk about tonight is the mitzvah hotzos of Shabbos, expenditures for Shabbos, how much we spend for Shabbos, what should you spend for Shabbos, and how we spend monetarily for the Shabbos. The Gemara in Beitza on Daf Tes Vavam Beis is the main place where the sugya is discussed. So let's look at a Gemara together. The Gemara is discussing the pasuk in Nehemiah that says, Chedvas Hashem, hi me'uzchem, that Hashem is our strength. Mai ki chedvas Hashem, hi me'uzchem. What does it mean that the joy of Hashem is our strength? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Shimon, says Rabbi Elazar, the son of the Holy Tana, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Hashem to the Jewish people, Israel, V'nai levu alai, I want you to borrow on my account, V'kadshu kedushas hayom, and then sanctify the day of Shabbos with the money that you have borrowed, V'minu ki ani parea, and you will trust me, and I will pay you back whatever debt you incur. So if you need to spend money for Shabbos, and you don't have the money, you should take out a loan. And Hashem says, don't worry about it. I'll make sure that you'll be able to pay back. Now the Gemara continues. We're going to explain the rest of the Gemara based on Rashi. Says the Gemara, Kol mizanosav shel adam kutsuvim lo mirosh hashanah v'yayom kippur. The entire livelihood of a person is set up for him from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And during that time period, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, during Aseret Meitshuva, we're going to be judged. And it's decreed in Shemayim how much money you're going to earn for all the expenditures for the coming year, except chutz mehotzas shabbosos vehotzas yantif, except for whatever costs for Shabbos and whatever it costs for yantif, vehotzas banav l'talmud Torah and whatever it costs to send your kids to learn Torah. In these areas, no amount is determined between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rather, how do you know how much money you have for Shabbos and yantif and to send your kids to school? So she'im pachas pochsin, if you reduce the amount that you spend for these things, so then Hashem will reduce your income because you don't need so much money for those things. So you don't spend so much on Shabbos and Yantav and Talmud Torah. V'im hosif, but if you increase the amount you spend on the expenditures for Shabbos and Yantav, so then Hashem will give you more money, though Sifan though you'll be able to cover it at the end of the day. And therefore, you can borrow for these purposes, because essentially we are guaranteed, says the Gemara, to have enough income to cover whatever you spend on those things. The Sfas Emes and the Gemara in Beitza there suggests that if a person spends very little on Kavod Shabbos and Kavod Yantiv, Hashem will lessen the amount of money you're supposed to have for the year. And if you spend more for Shabbos, then Hashem will simply add on to your yearly allowance. Now, that is Gemara number one. Hopefully everybody understands Gemara part one. I can't see anybody, so I'll just assume that you're nodding with me along. So that's part one, that a person can spend what they want on Shabbos and Yontif, and Hashem will cover the cost. You don't have to worry about it. However, let's look at a Gemara on Shabbos, and Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amar Av. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Kol ha-ma'anegas ha-Shabbos nosonam nachal adid mitzarim. Whoever delights in Shabbos, Hashem will give you a very large reward without end. Shneamar, asis anegel Hashem v'hikibisichas b'msei aretz v'halichaticha b'nachlas Yaakov avicha, that you should delight, and Hashem will cause you to go on the heights of the world, and you'll have the inheritance of Yaakov, your father. B'lo ki yitzlach, not like yitzlach shekasubo, ki l'chol zarecha atenus kol aretz oseilu, that I say, I'm going to give you this land. Ela ki Yaakov shekasubo v'paratzta yama v'keima v'tzafona b'negba. Okay, that it's like Yaakov, that there are no boundaries in the chelik of Yaakov. You keep Shabbos, you'll be given a reward without end. So the Beis Yosef writes in Siman Reish Mem Beis that this is a midah keneged midah. If you spend endlessly on Shabbos, then Hashem will give you an endless reward. Now the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yotes on the next daf continues. Hava ha'ogai. Now, I think we all know the story, but let's see the story inside. I think many people know the story, but I don't think they know it's a Gemara. I think they think it's some sort of acute Jewish legend, but it's a Gemara. There was a guy in the neighborhood whose property was a lot. Amri lei kedalai. So the astrologers told this guy that kule nichse, all of your property, Yosef Mokir Shabbi Achalhu. There's a guy named Yosef Mokir Shabbos. The Yosef who cherishes Shabbos, he's going to get all your stuff. So the guy became paranoid. Azel zebebinehu lekulei nichse. He went and he sold all of his property. Zavon behu marganis. And he bought a gem with it, a pearl. Osiva besaina. And he sewed it into his hat to keep it in his possession. Bahadi deka'avar mebara. So he was crossing a river on the ferry. And the wind came. Shad b'maya. And afrazicha. Shad b'maya. And it blew the hat and the gem into it. Balia kavra, and the fish swallowed it. Eventually, asku, they caught the fish. Isua panai demali shabasa, and it was brought to the shuk on Erev Shabbos. So Amri, man zavin kihashta. So the fisherman said, who's going to buy a fish at this time so close to Shabbos? So Amri, they told him, zilu amtui lagai Yosef Mokir Shabbos. Go to Yosef Mokir Shabbos, Yosef who loves Shabbos, and he certainly derugal zaman, he'll pay you whatever you want for it. Amtuya Nahila. So they brought it to him. And Zavnia, he bought it. Kara, he ripped it up. Ashkach Bey Marganisa, and he found a gem inside. Kara Ashkach Bey Marganisa. Zabni Bitzlay Saralusa Daniri Zahava. He sold it for 13 containers filled with gold. Pagaba Hausaba Amar. And then an elderly man, and we know that Hausaba in the Gemara is generally Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi found him and said, "Man di yazev shabasa pira shabasa. Whoever lends to Shabbos, Shabbos repays him." So can we see here as well that Shabbos takes care of you? Now, the Gemara goes on to show that in other countries, Jews became wealthy because they were mechaber the Shabbos. The Zohar in Parshas Pekudei says there was a person who ate and drank and rejoiced in whatever he ate and drank to give. And he drank and he gave, and Hashem gave him as a loan, and Hashem repaid him double. This is in fact way in the Zemiras of Shabbos. How often on Shabbos do we sing in Kol Mekadesh? Scharu har b'maod al pi fa'alo. Your reward is according to the preparation. In Mayadidus we sing Nachlas Yaakov Yirash b'li mitzarim nachala, that the inheritance of Yaakov is without borders. Or we say in Baruch Kalelion on Shabbos day V'yashrei kol chocha l'sashlume kefal, that you get double for what you give to Shabbos. Now, it is true that the Gemara in the Pasuk in Nehemiah says ki ched vas Hashem hu mu'uzchem is talking about Rosh Hashanah, but Tosis in Beitza and Tesvav says that the same thing applies to Shabbos. However, we have a problem because there's a Gemara in Sachem and Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and the Gemara in Sachem says asei Shabbos chachol v'al titzareich lebrios, make Shabbos mundane and don't rely on people. So I have a problem. The Gemara in Pesachim says I should make Shabbos plain and don't spend a lot, and better not to rely on the handouts of people. But the Gemara in Beitza says spend whatever you want for Shabbos, and Hashem's going to pay you back. So how do you explain that? So Tosos says that the Gemara in Pesachim is speaking at someone who cannot borrow money and repay it. And in such a case, the Shabbos expenses should be lessened. But if you can borrow and repay it, then you should borrow money to make Shabbos nice and then pay the money back. So there's two opinions here of how do we understand this Tosos. The Hagos, Ashri, and Beitz, and the Marshal understand that from Tosos, that if you have collateral, I have a sefer. Okay, I have a sefer, I have collateral. I can give it to get money from a lender for Shabbos. Then I should do so. I should give the sefer away so I can have money for Shabbos. And if I don't have collateral, then only in that case I should have a simple Shabbos and not take any loans. That's what it means. Asei Shabbascha Chol. The Bach in the Torah and Siman Reish Mem Beis and the Gra understand that if you don't have anyone who's willing to lend you, then you should make Shabbos Chol. Let's say I have no lenders. Nobody wants to lend me money. I can't get money before Shabbos. Then I should have a simple, peanut butter sandwich for Shabbos, and that's enough. And if you have someone who will lend you, then you should take the loan to pay for nicer things for Shabbos. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Mem Beis and Sif Gimel follows both opinions. And he says that only if things are very difficult, where I don't have a mashkan, I don't have collateral in order to get a loan, and the only way to get a loan is by putting that collateral, but I don't have it, then you should make your Shabbos like Chol and have your plain peanut butter sandwich for Shabbos. However, if I can get a loan, then you must take the money and not be mevatel and not nullify the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Comes the Chavetz Chaim in his Shar HaTzion, and he cites the Ateres Zakenu, who says that you should only take a loan if you judge that you'll be able to repay. If you cannot repay, if I take out $100 for Shabbos and I won't have $100 to pay back next week, then asei Shabbos Chol, have a peanut butter sandwich, don't get the chicken. And the Shar HaTzion concludes that every situation must be looked at on its own. Everything depends on the inyan. So the Magen Avraham says that you can take a loan with interest even for Suda Shabbos. You can take a loan with interest to pay for Suda Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav clarifies that you're allowed to borrow ribis de Rabbanan, rabbinically judged interest on a loan to pay for Suda Shabbos. If I can't get a loan any other way, that's how important it is to have prayer for Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah cites the Tosfos Shabbos and the Siv Chaim and Levush Esra and the Maamar Mordechai, who say not exactly, you should not take ribis de Rabbanan, but you can take interest from a guy, or you take interest with the Heter Mechira, with the Heter Iska, in order to get money for Shabbos. So this is what we have over here. Again, to repeat, contradictory Gemaras, I should spend whatever I want on Shabbos because Hashem is going to back me up, versus if you don't have the money, simply have a very simple Shabbos. And the compromise is that if I can borrow and pay back in a responsible way, then I should do that. But if I can't, then I have a very simple Shabbos with no extras. Comes the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Mem Beis and Siman Reish and the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, and they seem to come out at the end of the day with three levels of expenses for Shabbos. So let's go from wealthiest to least. On the top level is someone who is able to spend whatever they can on the extras for Shabbos, for Kavod Shabbos, the meat, wine, delicacies, whatever it may be. Spend whatever you can. That's the top level of spending for Shabbos. Second level, I have enough money for three meals on Shabbos and a little bit more. I can have enough money for three meals and something nice. Then I should purchase the food for the three meals and that extra thing. You should limit what you have during the week so that you can have nicer things for Shabbos. And don't worry about not having enough during the week. And instead, you should have bitachon that Hashem will repay you for the cost of Shabbos. However, this middle category, don't take from others in order to pay for Shabbos extras, since you can limit what you have during the week in order to have more for Shabbos. And if I already take tzedakah, then the tzedakah should give me what I need for three meals and a little bit more, or whatever I would be used to have at the Shabbos meal. So level number two is that I don't have the money to buy whatever I want for Shabbos, but I would have money to have extra for Shabbos if I cut out stuff from during the week. So level two is spend less during the week so that I can spend more for Shabbos. The third level is a person who's under a lot of pressure and they only have enough for two meals of Shabbos. Then I should make my Shabbos like the weekday and not take from others. I should have two meals of that cooked food. Don't take a loan if you don't have the collateral or a way to repay the loan. So really the lowest level, the last thing a person should do is to be borrowing money to pay for Shabbos. That's the lowest level. The higher levels are to try to limit during the week or to pay whatever you can, regardless of, based on your budget. So now let's turn to just a bit of hashkafa, just about how Hashem protects us and makes sure that we can prepare for Shabbos. Rav Pinchas HaLevi Horowitz, the Baal HaMakna, the Panim Yafos and Parshas Re'eh, that he writes in the Machna and Kedushin Daf Pei Beis, this is the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, he says that the Gemara says, Luvu alai, you should lend, you should borrow from me, v'kidshu kedushas hayom, and sanctify Shabbos, v'aminu bi, and trust in me, v'ani parei, I'll pay you back. Says Rav Pinchas HaLevi Horowitz, depending on the person's emuna, this will determine your bitachon. And with this, he answers the above question of Tosos. How can the Gemara also say, "Asei Shabbos Chol V'Al Tzitzreich L'Brios"? Don't rely on people. Instead, you should have a simple Shabbos. So says the Panim Yafos, if your bitachon is strong, then Hashem will take care of you for Shabbos. And if it's not so strong, then Asei Shabbos Chol. That's what it means. People with a lot of emunah bitachon, so they'll borrow and they'll figure it out at the end of the day. And someone who can't, doesn't have such emunah, so then they'll have to, you know, do what they can and limit their expenditures for Shabbos. The Chazon Ish is quoted by Rav Grindman in the Imre Yosher and in the Maisa Ish in Chelek Hei, that only if you truly believe that Hashem will take care of you, will they act in this way for your behalf in Shemayim? The Chutshani, Rav Nissen Krelitz, explains that the promise of Vani Poreah, that Hashem promises, I will pay you back for what you do for Shabbos, depends on your level of bitachon. And he notes that the Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer Amunah Bitachon, in Perek Beis, that bitachon means that there's nothing by chance in the world, and that everything that happens comes from Hashem. Bitachon doesn't mean that Hashem only does good things for you. That's not what bitachon means. And nevertheless, regarding expenditures of Shabbos, there's a special promise that Hashem will repay what you take out. Except, meaning, what does Rav Nissen Krelitz mean here? Generally, we say that bitachon doesn't mean be cavalier, do whatever you want, and Hashem will take care of you. No. That's not what bitachon means. Bitachon means that Hashem has a plan. The only time that you have the ability to say, ah, I'm going to do something and it's going to turn out good, where you have a promise, is paying for Shabbos. By paying for Shabbos, you have to go, you have to put yourself out there and trust that Hashem is going to take care of you. The Ben Yishchai writes in the Ben Yehoyada and Beitza that bitachon can create great hashba in the world, that they can go all the way up to the Olam Atzilus, the highest levels, and this bitachon can cause shefa chen v'shefa tov, blessing to come from Hashem. So what it says in Tehillim, chen v'kavod yitain Hashem, that kavod and glory comes, and you know, chen, goodness comes from Hashem, lo yimna tov l'holchem b'tam, to those who trust in Hashem. So there's a beautiful sefer on halacha, a halacha sefer on different sugyas, called Iyunim B'Halacha, by a Talmud Chacham in Israel. His name is Rav Shlomo Shemaya. So he records the following tradition that he heard. When the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah, Hakol Lefi HaInyan, that each person has to do according to Lefi HaInyan, according to the matter. So someone came and asked the Chafetz Chaim, what does that mean? You should figure out what to do for Shabbos and how much to pay and where to borrow money from or how much to buy for Shabbos, Lefi HaInyan, according to the thing? Well, what's the thing? What does that mean? So the Chafetz Chaim explained to the questioner the following scenario. Let's imagine for ourselves. Let's imagine that you are the potential borrower who needs to take out money to pay for Shabbos. Let's say your friend, who had no way of paying back, came and asked for a loan for Shabbos. And he said, honestly, I have no way to pay you back, but Hashem promised me that he's going to take care of things. Can I have a loan? Would you, our potential borrower, imagining this case, lend money to your friend based simply on the promise of a Gemara in Beitza? If you would lend to somebody else based on this promise, and he doesn't need an IOU or a banknote, then you could borrow yourself. If you would be willing to lend out to such a person in that case, then you can borrow in such a way. But if you yourself would never lend money to somebody based on a promise in a Gemara, then you yourself don't have permission to take this loan for your own Shabbos expenses. That's how we heard the Chafetz Chaim explained it. So the Aruch HaShulchan adds another twist. The Aruch HaShulchan says that it must be that the money being borrowed is l'kavod Shabbos and not for your own kavod or to fill your stomach. The Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, the Talmud Sakh of Yosef, Yaakov Yosef Polnoi, writes in Parshas Kedoshim, and the Pnei Menachem writes in his Otzer Mechtavim, the Ger Rebbe writes in his letters, that if you are levu alai, that if you yourself throw your burden on Hashem and your mechavim l'shem shemaim towards Hashem, then Hashem will repay you. But if your intention is Shabbos Cha, if it's going to be your Shabbos but not Hashem Shabbos, then it should be chol and don't take it on. Right? Do we hear the chiluk over here? He says the Gemara in Beitz is saying it's if it's levu alai, if your whole intention is alai on Hashem, that you're going to rely on Hashem and quote Hashem, then take the money. But if it's going to be Shabbos Cha, if it's going to be just to fill your own stomach for your Shabbos, but not Hashem Shabbos, then don't take the money and have a simple Shabbos. The Dubna Magid in the Ol Yaakov in Parshas Bahar says that when a person helps others out and supports people so they can have something for Shabbos, then this indicates that his spending is l'kavod Hashem and not for himself. And he explains it with a beautiful, beautiful mashal. This is one of my favorite mashalim from the Dubna Magid. He tells the story of a very wealthy man who had two sons who lived in a distant land, and one was wealthy and one was poor. With their sister's wedding approaching, the father sent an invitation to the wealthy son, and he said, "You and your family should please come to the wedding, and I'll reimburse you for all the expenses you come to honor me at the wedding, and make sure to take care of your brother as well." So, thrilled at this opportunity, the wealthy son began making all the preparations, spent all that he could to buy the most beautiful clothing and items for himself, his wife, his children, and he even got a chariot and a carriage to transport them to the wedding, a big, big simcha. But in all of his excitement to make himself look nice, he forgot to take care of his poor brother and tell him about the invitation. So as an afterthought, on the way to the wedding, he stopped by his poor brother's hut, and he saw him dressed in his shabby clothing, and he pulled him up into the chariot and said, "Come with us, we're going to the wedding." And they came to the chasna. The father is so happy to see his sons driving up in the beautiful carriage, and all the wealthy son and his family come out dressed beautifully. And he was a little perturbed, to say the least, when he saw that the second son came out in his tattered, poor clothing. So after the wedding, the wealthy son came to the father with an itemized bill. And he said, "Here, Daddy, here's the receipt. You said you're going to reimburse me for all the things I bought to be mechabed you at the wedding." So the father looked at the wealthy son and he said, "Maybe you didn't pay attention to what I promised you. The deal was that I would reimburse you for the expenses that you incurred for my honor. You haven't honored me. You brought shame upon me that you couldn't take care of your brother as I asked you to. You came for your own honor. You got yourself dressed. You got your wife dressed. You got your kids dressed. You got yourself a carriage. But you didn't do it for me. You did it for yourself and you forgot about your brother." Says the Dubna Magid, the same thing comes to Shabbos as well. We're concerned only for our honor, for our kavod on Shabbos, for our pleasure, to have nice food, then Hashem never agreed to cover our expenditures. Only if we dedicate our Shabbos to the kavod of Hashem, and we include others who are less fortunate in our kavod Shabbos, so then we're going to get the bracha from Hashem for that special day. That's such a beautiful mashal from the Dubna Magid. We find a similar idea in the Rambam and Hilchos Yontif. The Rambam and Hilchos Yontif Perek Vav says that if you eat and drink on Yontif without thinking or taking care of Aniyim, that's not Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's Simcha Shel Kreso. It's the rejoicing of your stomach. So Rashi writes in Beitza, and this will come towards a conclusion over here. Rashi writes in Beitza that you should spend based on what you normally have. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed, Hakol Lefi Mamono Shel Adam, Mechol Amar Beharezim Meshavach. Whatever you spend is good as long as you do it within your means. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Nun that you should have a lot of meat and wine, delicious food according to your ability. And we noted the Shaar Tzion said, Hakol Lefi Ha'inyan. The Chafetz Chaim said it depends on the person. Rav Nissen Karelitz reminds us that it's usher to take a loan if you don't know how you're going to repay. And if you borrow more than you reasonably think you'll be able to repay, that's gezel, that's stealing. When it comes to Shabbos, he says, you can spend the money you have right now from the loan, And you don't have to be concerned about the money you're going to need after Shabbos. You shouldn't go overboard and be irresponsible, but you are allowed to stretch yourself, says Rav Nissim Karelitz, to spend the money that you do have for Shabbos. In the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak, they say in the name of Rav Yashiv, that the fact that Hashem will pay you back for Shabbos expenses only applies to Tzorechei Shabbos, not extras. He felt, nevertheless, that that would include not just food. Rav Avinzal writes this as well in his Yerushalayim B'Mo'odeh. Anything that's not about food, to pay for the air conditioning for Shabbos, the water for Shabbos. Rav Meir Brandstorfer writes in the Shuvas Kanabos and Chela Gimel that money spent on the hot water to shower for Shabbos is included as well. All money spent for Shabbos, not just food, Hashem says He will pay you back. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach in the Halicha Shlomo in Pesach felt that one cannot establish a rule or a formula regarding what you can spend for Shabbos. However, he felt that you could likely measure based on the expenses of someone who has a steady job and who would spend a little extra on a simcha. That's how we should judge it. Someone who has a steady job and would spend extra to make a nice simcha for his family. So that's what we consider to be what you can spend for Shabbos. I'll just conclude here with two ideas and then we'll draw to a close. In the Nefesh Shimshon, the writings based on the talks and the life of Rav Shimshon Pinchas on the Vine related to Shabbos, so there's a beautiful description of how Rav Pinchas would go shopping for Shabbos. Rav Pinchas was the famed Rav of Ofakim, and his Sfarim and his lectures are incredibly popular. So I want to read to you a little bit how Rav Pinchas would go shopping for Shabbos. This is a big deal. He would actually, the Avreichim, the members of the Kol and Ofakim, would come with him to the store on Friday to go with him for Shabbos because it was such an experience. So they say, he would say as follows. He said, if someone offered to let you shop in the store for free, wouldn't you jump at the opportunity to fill a few shopping carts? So he said, in truth, we have a weekly opportunity to shop for Shabbos on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's bill. You can imagine how we could shop after such an introduction. And they would buy so generously when Rav Pinchas went shopping. And one time Rav Pinchas' son came along for the avoda of shopping and asked, all the things we actually use on Shabbos, Chazal said, you're going to be taken care of. But what about all the leftovers, all the fancy foods that get up eating during the week? You buy a roast and you eat half the roast during the week. That's not just for Shabbos, that's during the weekday. So Rav Pinchas told his son, it doesn't matter what you actually use. Since you buy it for the sake of the Shabbos Malka, they don't go on the bill, even if they get used during the week. And Rav Pinchas understood that the purchases made l'kavod Shabbos don't cost anything because they go on Hashem's bill. It wasn't only limited to himself. He made a point of conveying this to his children, that the feeling of Chazal's words were true, actual, and a practical level. Rav Pinchas would occasionally let them go to the grocery store on Friday and buy whatever they wanted to. They are now giving away treats for free at the store, he would tell the children in his house, because it's on Hashem's bill. You can go and buy whatever treats you want, l'kavod Shabbos. And all of a person's sustenance is allotted to him, says Rav Pinchas, except for the expenses of Shabbos and Yontif, and it doesn't cost any money, and the children will go to the store. The Baal Shem Tov writes, in the Baal Shem Tov Al HaTorah, he doesn't write, but they say in the name of Baal Shem Tov in Parshis Yisro, how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give a poor person his provisions for Shabbos before he buys what he needs, so he doesn't have to take out a loan? The Baal Shem Tov answered that the bracha can only rest on something that exists. For example, the miracle of Elisha and the endless jugs of oil that provided sustenance only existed when there was some oil to begin with. If the poor person has nothing in his house, then there's no place for the bracha to rest on. And if the food will not magically show up on its own, if the food would only magically show up on its own, it would be a revealed miracle. And we know from Chazal, we're not supposed to get hana, we're not supposed to get benefits from a nes gali or a revealed miracle. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the ani, makes the poor person take a loan, so it'll be a nes nister. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for us what we need in all different manners, certainly when it comes to Shabbos. We should be free, we should not be stingy. We should not be holding on to our wallets when it comes to paying for Shabbos. We should open up our wallets, buy nicer things for Shabbos, pay for things for Shabbos, bring owning Shabbos to our house, and we'll be mechabed the Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shomer Yisrael on Shabbos and everything going forward. Good evening, everyone.